Okay, we're back. Thank you. That session starts now. That'll be me then. We've had some quite nice questions, and so I'll just pull up the question and answer thing and pick out ones that I think are worthy of mention. Someone said, I made a statement that turned out to be not quite as true as it might have been if it had been less untrue. I said the range.
You misspoke.
I said the range of the accelerometer goes between minus one and plus one if you tip the phone that way and that way. This is correct in that it's measuring between minus one and plus one G. Okay? But if you wave the phone around, you can get G forces much bigger than one G acting on the phone itself. And so you will see that number get bigger. One of the ways you can tell if the phone's being manipulated, like being shaken about, is to actually look at, to see if that number's getting crazy large and then changing sign rapidly. Someone else asked the question, is it possible to detect when the phone is being shaken? And the answer is yes. It's when the numbers go berserko and change really rapidly. There are quite a few shake the bottle type games which you can get for Windows Phone where each person shakes it and you have to take it in turns till the bottle goes bang, that kind of thing. Those don't do anything clever. They just look for that number. For a matter of interest, I managed to get it as high as about 3.5 before my nerve failed. And I was concerned I might actually send the phone through the window. If the value becomes zero, this means the phone is in free fall. And it means that at some point it'll become not zero really quickly. So that's how, interesting fact, that's how automatic head parking in laptops works. When they're falling,
Oh,
it goes down to zero. So they go, oh,
the shock,
something bad's about to happen.
Shock
Bang.
Protection
Yes.
stuff,
And so you can detect, you could say you are now in free fall if you wanted to. But I don't quite know. It would be, and the other point which somebody's made, John makes the point, and again he's quite correct, you do get quite a lot of noise on this. One of the things I tend to do with the readings is I will condition them a bit. In other words, I'll keep a moving average. So that if it you do give it a noise, then it levels it out so you can get smooth moving. But Cheese Lander works and is good,
Yep,
and that's
it's
using
very good.
fairly simple.
I've played it
In fact, you can
loads of
actually, if
times.
you search the interwebs, you can actually find Cheese Lander sauce out there. It is possible. So there you go. Other questions which came along. Which technology should I use? The eternal question, is it better to write Silverlight or better to write XNA for your games? There's a man that went, Silverlight. Well, Silverlight works great until you get more than a certain number of objects on the screen moving around at once, at which point it does start to chug a bit. The Silverlight engine, because of the way it manages objects, does an awful lot more work moving them around the screen and managing properties and stuff. Whereas with XNA, I'm effectively telling the graphic processor unit, draw this thing here, please, bang. And so if you have small numbers of objects and fairly low update rates required, a simple Silverlight game, yeah, you can do it that way. But if you want to have more performance, you want to have lots of objects, thousands of particles twinkling and spinning and coming down, then use the XNA framework. It's wonderful for that. And one of the things I'm going to actually mention in a minute or two on the next little sequence is precisely how you would combine Silverlight and XNA to make a game that uses the best. Keep that in mind. But it is a bit horses and courses, horses for courses. Someone's asked, are the Compass APIs available? Yes, they are. A lot, you can use those in your phone. But unfortunately, although every single Windows Phone platform has got the Compass hardware in it, some of the manufacturers haven't actually hooked it up to the layer which is Mango. So you might find that even though you get the new Mango and your phone has a Compass in it, it might still not work. Check on the specific hardware platform to find out more about that. And I apologize, there's no actual neatness on that one. You have to just go on a case-by-case basis. Okay, and someone asked me about the downloads. I've given them to Jeff. They will be appearing later on today, so you'll have Cheese Lander and all the other stuff. Not Cheese Lander, perhaps, because that's still out there.
The what? Cheese Lander,
still out
yes.
there making me money. Rush out and buy it. Change your life. Become poorer. Someone's asked, is this the last session? It could well be.
There's a hint of
hint of
hope or
desperation.
desperation in
That's
that
right, yeah.
question, yeah.
Please make it. No, we have one more session, which is how you actually do become rich and famous and make money using Windows Phone. That's coming up after this one, and that's me again. But this is big news. This is really nice stuff, and I want to spend some time on this because it's good. You can now combine XNA and Silverlight to make a single application. This is really nice, because the problem with XNA is it's really, really hard to do the menus with the buttons and the high score tables and the what kind of knight are you, good sir, and what kind of stuff on the buttons to press to do that. In Silverlight, stuff runs slow if you get lots of graphics. So this gives you like a marriage made in heaven, because it means you can do the menu stuff in Silverlight and the gameplay in XNA. So if you have a Silverlight app you want to put some 3D rendering in, it's easy. If you have an XNA game you want to build the menus for, that's easy as well. So you can travel either way, and it all works extremely well. If we go back to making projects, we did this yesterday morning, first thing we did. Seems like about a million years ago.
Yep. It does.
We saw there were different kinds of project templates. If you look at the one that's grayed out on the slide, this is the one which combines Silverlight and XNA. And in fact, there's a combined Silverlight and XNA in both the XNA Game Studio projects and the Silverlight projects, but they both end up making the same thing. And this is this solution which contains a smorgasbord of different things, which are the Silverlight and XNA behaviours. So if you do this, you find a solution with three projects. The one in heavy type, Silver Cheese Roller, which I thought was a good... If you know David Essex, whoever he is, then he had a record with a very similar name, but I thought that was a good name for a project, and works for me. And so Silver Cheese Roller is basically Silverlight project, which is the container for everything. Below that is a library of the XNA routines that have been pulled out and made available in a special way to run inside this. And underneath that, we have the content project, which is where you'll put your textures, your sound effects, and all the stuff that makes it work. So this all happens automatically. No need to worry about this. So you get that. And at this point, you're in business. If we open up the Silver Cheese Roller project, we'll find that, yes, we have an app.xaml, we have a mainpage.xaml, and we have a gamepage.xaml. And that's actually a new page that's made for us by the new project wizard, and that's where the XNA gameplay will take place. So this is specially configured to be the surface on which your XNA game will run. Okay? And so if we move to that page, we might not get any Silverlight displayed, but we will get an XNA game running. Does that make sense? Is everyone? Yes. Andy's happy with that.
Yeah.
Jolly good. I'm very pleased to hear it. So that's how it all fits together. When you start the combined app, you get the main page as per usual, but the project template puts a button in there called Change to Game Page, and it does exactly what it says on the tin. If you press that button, we flip over to the game page you've just seen, and at that point, the XNA component starts to go. And so this is the point where you put your menu. So here is where you put select your player names and how many lives to win, or whatever it is you want to use with your game. You can do that all in Silverlight. You can use advanced SAML. You can use animations. You can build the thing with Blend. It all just works, okay? But when they press that button, this page goes away. We land on the gameplay page, and the XNA engine behind that starts to run. We've seen if anything before. There's the button click. There's the navigate call. There's the URL, gamepage.xaml, and away we go. When we hit that, the XNA gameplay starts to happen. It's all magic. If you look at the game page, which we'll do in a second or two, you'll find there's four methods, which are the ones which are going to drive our thing. Onnavigated to and onnavigated from are like old friends by now. If you write Silverlight, you'll know all about this. When someone arrives on your page, you'll get told. When someone leaves your page for better places, you get told again. And those are the places where you would do, well, navigated to will take the job of initialize and load content. So you fetch your resources in there. I'd advise you, a little performance tip, to have some checks to see whether the content's already present, because if it is, to come back to your page, there's no sense in reloading it again. Initialize again can set things up. On update and on draw are the Silverlight versions of the draw and update methods we know and love in XNA. So slightly different, but the fundamental behaviors underneath are exactly the same. If you look carefully, let's go and have a because Andy tells me off for not actually doing anything live. Okay.
he says, hello. Don't do anything rash, Rob.
Okay, I'll build one of these from scratch.
Ooh.
And so we'll see what's going to happen here and how it all works. So if I go into my desktop, Andy thinks I haven't got the nerve. and everything I do is canned. And so what I'll do is I'll go into here and we'll make ourselves... Come on, you can do it. I'll make a brand new project. See how brave I am. Okay, new project, and we'll call this one Golden Cheese for no reason at all. Except it's probably better than silver. Okay, so when it comes up, this is how you do it. You go into the projects, and let's find ourselves a Silverlight and X and application, and I'll call this one Golden Cheese for no good reason. And I'll hit OK. And there'll now be a tumultuous rattling noise as the hard drive rattles, a whole bunch of folders are created, and I get myself my nice solution with the three projects built in, and there they all are. So there's Golden Cheese appearing, which is the container with the game page and main page.xaml and all that good stuff, and the system's still chugging as it makes the other two. So here they go. There's the Golden Cheese content and the Golden Cheese library. And here we go. And eventually, I've got, it looks very similar, and if I want to, I can take a look at the gamepage.xaml, and I'll see, I can probably do to zoom out of that a little bit, actually. If I do that, what happens? It goes the wrong way. Okay, so I don't like working live, you see, there you go. Whole phone doesn't look like much. And if we look inside the XAML, there's a comment that says no XML content is required, as this page is rendered by XNA. Okay, so when I run the program up on the emulator, then it'll deploy it. Up it comes, and I'm adhering to the theme, of course. So my theme is set to light, so I have black text, white background. Click on change to game page, and I see a blue screen, which should be familiar. And if I now drift into the main gamepage.xaml, and open up the CS, we'll see something which isn't a million miles away from the XNA game that we've just created a few moments ago. There's my on navigated to, there's my navigated from, there's my update, and there's my draw behavior, and I'm getting myself a cornflower blue screen. Now, if you look, we have a thing called Shared Graphics Device Manager, which is not the same as what we had in the previous program. And there's a little bit more complication here and there. But if I put a breakpoint in here, you can see that as my game runs, it's been hit straight away. This is the program actually running the draw method 30 times a second. Okay. If you want to know how that works, a little piece of magic, if I drift further up here, we'll find that actually the way it really works, when you arrive on the page, we start a timer running, which has been set to run at the appropriate speed. And this timer is actually the thing which will generate the draw and update behaviors.
Great.
Okay, so that's how it works. And I made that from nothing. And it was just an empty project. But it makes me feel better. And that's the important thing. So you can drop your gameplay into there. And it will work quite nicely. What I'm going to do is go back to Mango XNA. And we'll continue.
Just about this 30 frames per second, 60 frames per second thing. So, as I understand it, the default is still 30 frames per second.
Yes.
But you can request 60.
You can change it, but you'd be mad.
Good.
Okay. You'd be not sensible.
But it is supported in Mango now. So.
Well, it's always been there that you can change the number.
Right.
But it's a very, very dubious benefit. If you want a game that runs no faster but makes the battery go quick, then fine. Do you remember, you could actually buy, I wonder whether Windows Phone has any, you could buy hand warmer apps, you see these? You could buy a program
for your phone,
which just basically turns everything on, right, so the phone gets warm while the battery is being destroyed. Mm-hmm. You don't go there. And there'll be a whole bunch of those appearing, little hand warmers. Yes, so there you are. Right, so next thing I want to look at, having seen that and being very impressed with it, is the fact that we can also combine XNA and Silverlight. This gets kind of hairy. At the moment, I've got two different kinds of page. I've got my Silverlight page, and the one thing I didn't show, but I'll show you in a minute or two, if I press the back button on the XNA game page, I go back to the menu page. And if I then press the button again, I go back to the game. So I can flip between these two modes. And that's sweet, And well worth a round of applause, although I didn't actually hear one this time. So,
sorry.
Thank you. Get them better. Oh, it's good. Get them trained up. Because, as the comment says, and it's on the screen there, there are no XNA elements on there. Now, if I want to, I can put some XML components on that page, but they won't get rendered because the rendering for that page is effectively managed by XNA now. XNA is now in charge. And this is, this one is quite an interesting piece of work, because what I got here is the code that actually does the rendering on the thing. So you can go away, Mr. Golden Cheese. You had a brief but interesting life. And we'll go into...
History.
And I'll go and... here we go. That's where I want to be. And then I'll go into XNA. And then I'll go... I'm talking to myself. And I'll open it to... Yeah.
No, I don't distract you. So while we're in the XNA game page, suppose that we hit pause, could we show a silver-like menu above the game?
Indeedy.
Indeedy.
Stick around. Okay. Stick around and learn stuff. Let your Uncle Rob show you how. That sounds wrong. That actually sounds terribly wrong. Move on. Okay, this is mainpage.xaml.cs. This is actually my game engine when it's finally got around to loading itself. It doesn't seem to want to load itself at all, but I'm sure it will. Come on, open up. There's a good thing. Don't be shy. Fine. This is the XAML for the main page. And none of this is what I want to show you, because I should be showing you the game page. oh, dear. How much longer have we got? Gamepage.xaml. I've got a game page here. I put two Silverlight controls on the game page, okay? One's called reset, one's called quit. And if we look down here, normal rules apply. I've got two buttons. One has the name reset button, and one has the name quit button. And the idea is that these buttons will hover over my XNA screen and allow the player to touch buttons on the XNA screen that will fire off Silverlight events, okay?
Right.
Which is kind of answering the question that that was asked. So if we look at through here, if I run the program, the issue is that to actually make it work, when you're doing XNA, the XNA framework is in charge of doing the rendering, okay? So there's no Silverlight rendering taking place. What you have to do is write some code that asks the Silverlight renderer, hey, take whatever controls you want the user to see and render them to this texture, please. So if we have a look in the code for the game page, we'll see how this works. Come on. I think I've forgotten how to double click. That's what it is. I think my mouse
paralysis
is
setting in. I
think my mouse is slow. And that's a big key in the back. So there's Cheese Lander. Cheese Roller. I apologise. Cheese Roller. The roller of the cheese. And so it's just the same code you've already seen. There's my texture. There's my rectangle. There is a slight irritation, which you'll notice I've had to use what's called a fully qualified name for the rectangle, Cheese Droplet. And that's because both XNA and Silverlight have rectangle classes, and I have to explicitly tell the thing which one I'm using. Now, with a bit of design of your users, you could probably make that actually a lot simpler. But for now, I'm actually saying that's an XNA rectangle, please. There's my accelerometer, so I can tip the thing. And here's a new thing, the UI element renderer. Now, the job of this is to take the Silverlight UI and turn it into a texture. So this is what takes the components that we want to draw on the screen and makes them into stuff we can display. And that will be used in the draw method. This code you've already seen, it's how we tip the phone around. This is the code in the startup when we do the layout that makes the element render if we haven't already got one. And in here, this is the bit I want to actually show off in the draw method on draw. The first line of the draw method is now elementRenderer.render. This basically says, take all the Silverlight controls and draw them for me, please. And at that point, I now have a texture. And what I can now do is I can take that texture and draw it as I would draw any other texture on the screen at a position with a particular colour. You can see there, draw that first and then put the cheese on top. It's quite good. What that means is that as the cheese moves around the screen, it will actually go... Isn't it like we could do it on a toast, that'd be great. We could put the cheese... Yeah, okay. All of the jokes. So this would mean the cheese would appear on top of the menu. It would go over the top of the buttons. If that's the effect you want, that's fine. Interesting things, I'm drawing this as a texture. So I could do weird transformations and change the colour of it by changing the draw colour. But I have to be careful about that, because the Silverlight input engine, which is still running, expects the button to be on the place it would be if the texture was placed at the right points on the screen. So the good news is, from the input perspective, Silverlight is still looking for events on the buttons, and it will respond to those and fire them in the controls. So this is how I take my Silverlight display and run it on top of the game screen. And if we look at what's happening, is that I've got a reset button. When you click that, it just puts the cheese back at the top left-hand corner of the screen. And if I press the quit button, quit just takes me back to... Gosh, that was quick. It just navigates me back to the main page. So I've got an application that contains both Silverlight and XNA and indeed Silverlight buttons. So this is you don't have to do this. You don't have to put Silverlight buttons on your screen. I've just thought of a really interesting... This is going to end really badly.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone going to tell me why? Let's see. Change to game page. And, oh, no, we're okay. It's interesting that the Silverlight control has been rendered with black because I'm in the colour scheme. So this is aware of the actual colour scheme we've got. And if I press reset, it moves the ball back to the top. And if I press quit, it takes me back. But notice that because I'm on colour scheme light, it's drawing all the controls following the Silverlight rules, so I'm getting black text appearing.
Right.
It's not drawing the white bits because they're transparent, which is nice, but that means that my game display will change to reflect the theme, and I'm trying very hard to figure out whether this is a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, I think, in the context of a game, that's probably not a great thing, is it?
I think it's a thing. Yeah. I'll put it in the category of thing of which you must be aware.
Yeah.
Now, it's actually an easy fix, because effectively you just define whatever colour scheme you like. Yes. And apply it to those controls and not use the default ones.
So this is the exception to the rule. When we were talking yesterday about when you're doing a Silverlight app, always use the sort of built-in themes, because they are theme aware. So for those of you who missed that, means whether you've got a white background or a black background on the phone. The controls, if you use the built-in themes for a Silverlight app, they automatically do the right thing to be visible.
But yeah.
But in a game context where the colour background is kind of fixed, you probably want to explicitly set the foreground colours of your Silverlight elements.
Yeah, I mean, Andy showed some nice expression blend stuff yesterday where he made a round button with a graduated colour on it. And that's the kind of thing you should be doing for your game, because you can then make a look and feel for the UI which is completely unique and special for your game. Mm-hmm. And you can pull your theme colours and your background textures for your buttons down from your resources and make it look not like Silverlight on the phone at all. And that would be a good way to do it. And a good starting point is, yes, don't use the default ones on the phone, because if they change their colour scheme or whatever, your menus in your games will look different.
They have unintended consequences.
Yes. So there you go, put the phone thing. But it all works quite nicely. We'll put this code up for you to dissect and play with. And we hope you have fun doing that, because we wrote this stuff just so you can have fun. It's the only reason why we did it. I feel good about that, and so does Andy. That's fine. So the bottom line here is that it's well worth, if you have a game and no menu, go for this. If you want to put in some nice spinny, sparkly particle effects or whatever on your Silverlight, just use the XNA to do the animated backdrop and put everything else on the controls. So if you want to have some really impressive, how on earth did you do that in Silverlight kind of effects? Well, you didn't. You cheated. And you can also do really weird stuff, like you can redraw the texture which Silverlight gives you in different ways to make it spin and sort of shrink off into the distance or whatever you like. A lot of scope for playing around and having fun there, which again is what we're all about. Absolutely. So, final bit, XNA and fast application switching. XNA games have got to deal with the same issues that Silverlight apps have, and they have a similar set of hooks, but the way they actually get fired is different in an XNA game. You have activated and deactivated events, but their meaning is subtly different. Games have slightly different needs, and one of the interesting things about XNA is that the game will keep running in some situations you really rather think it shouldn't, like, for example, when a phone call comes in. The game will keep going, and you can watch all your lives disappear while you're talking to your mother about your day. Events will get fired in those situations. Your game, I suspect, should drop into pause mode at that point. In fact, if a Silverlight app gets pushed out of memory, gets dormant and then Tombstone and then brought back again, that'll just be it. But if a game gets pushed out and brought back, maybe it should go into pause mode at some point so that the user then can resume the gameplay at a time that works for them. So think about all that. There's a document which explains this quite well. It's on create.msdn and then that link there, which you probably won't have time to write down, but we're attaching it to the resources for this session. And so it's a good explanation of how to manage tombstoning, and it applies equally well to fast application switching. And download that and take a look. That's a good reference to actually go for on this one. So you'll have to do it, but it's exactly the same problem managed using slightly different messages. And there you go. So, yeah, game design issues. Remember that when a user drifts away from your application, there's no guarantee they'll ever come back. They might turn the phone off before that. And game players will become very cross if they lose everything because the phone rang or they had to do something else. This means that you should plan your game design from the start to have checkpoints and save positions so that the player doesn't lose huge amounts of gameplay when they get interrupted. And if you do that, it also means the game has less transient information to move backwards and forwards when it needs to. So please be mindful of all that and you'll be just fine. You'll be just sorted out. So we have a nice mix of resources to make games. XNA is very, very good. Using the inputs is very, very easy. Sound and music can be attached to games quite nicely, and it's very easy to combine Silverlight and XNA games to make a single app. One break in the whole thing?
Okay.
Andy's the men at the back, like they did one break in the whole thing. So we'll have a break now, and then we'll come back and we'll do it all in one, on one breath.
All right.
Standing on one leg, or maybe not. So 10 minutes, 10 of your Earth minutes, get back here, and we'll tell you how to achieve richness, fame, and other things using Windows Phone.